Good evening, everybody. This is Josh Spicer from GameWisdom.com, and welcome to another episode of the Perceptive Podcast. We have a great cast for you tonight. My guest is from the indie studio Joymasher, who have been creating some very interesting titles based on old-school 8-bit design. They recently released Odalis The Dark Call onto Steam a few weeks ago by the time this cast goes up. And I really wanted to talk to them about their design and just their process in creating games very much indicative of the old school style. So please welcome to the podcast from Joymasher, Danilo Diaz.
Hey everyone, what's up? It's a pleasure to be here with you guys.
Yep, it's great to have you here, Danilo. So to start things off with, I know we spoke before the cast, but I am actually reaching out to you from your studio space in Brazil, correct?
Yes, Brazil, in the Amazon area.
Interesting. One of the things that's been great about doing these podcasts on Game Wisdom is being able to reach out internationally to a lot of developers. I've spoken to some people from Switzerland, I think, at one point. I've spoken to someone in Africa. Well, and I may have a guest from Croatia at some point soon, so it's kind of crazy to be able to talk to all these different developers from various countries.
Different accents and different names.
Yes, that's the tricky part, especially with the names. As I say to all my guests from other countries, I do apologize if I butcher your name. My tongue just does not work internationally.
Right. We are always like apologizing for our English here too, because it's difficult to, at least for myself, to talk in English, because I'm not used it to talk. I'm used it to listen, but it's very difficult for me.
Yep, that is perfectly fine. So to get things started, Daniel, for people who haven't heard of Joymasher before, could you tell us a little bit about your studio and just the general background of your time in the game industry?
Well, our studio is a very indie studio. We started with Oniken. I was working in architecture, in an architecture enterprise construction work. And I was like, oh, okay, I have some spare time. I will dedicate that to making my own games. My friend Pedro Paiva, he worked with me in Oniken. And when we were about to release the game, he came, Thais, my wife, she was already working on the game industry here in Brazil. She asked me, why we don't make like a studio in order to release Oniken? So we founded Joymasher.
Okay. And Oniken, for people who haven't heard of that game, that is another title very indicative of like 2D classic action platformer design, right?
Yes. Well, Oniken was our first game, and it's a really retro classic action game platform like Ninja Gaiden and Vice Project Doom, those NES old-style action games.
Yeah, but I know when we talk about Odalis in a few minutes, that the thing that got me interested was when it was mentioned in the press release that it reminded people of Demon's Crest, which was one of my favorite games growing up. Old school, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So my next question for you, Danilo, one thing I'm curious about, as I said, we are speaking from U.S. to Brazil right now, and I was just wondering, what is like the general state of the game industry in Brazil these days? Because, again, it's always interesting to hear what's happening in other countries with this industry.
Yeah, our game industry is like growing right now. We don't have a big game industry like in the U.S. and other countries, but most of our studios here are like they're heading for mobile games, small mobile games, and these are the game industry in general here. It's toward to mobile games, but we have some like small indie studios that like us are making games for computers and trying to achieve like a PSN store or Xbox Live, those kind of marketing. But it's everything is just growing up right now. We don't have like a big studios here yet, mm-hmm. but we're getting there.
All right, cool. Good to hear. So going back to Joy Masher, as we said, your two games, Onikin and Odalis, are definitely on the retro side of design and aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
Was this a conscious decision for the studio when you first started, or what led you guys to focus on this unique style of game development?
Well, most come from our love for old games. Like I'm always playing NES games and Super Nintendo games, like Castlevania, Mega Man, mm-hmm. and we all are big retro game fans. And we started with Onikin to be a retro game because one, we always loved those kind of games, and it was easy for us to work with those type of graphics, like 8-bit graphics and something like that. That was why we choose the 8-bit aesthetics for those games.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think with that, we'll move into our first topic. I think we'll talk more about the retro design of your titles, Danio, mm-hmm. and that will lead into talking more about Odalis in a few minutes.
Okay.
So as we just said a few seconds ago, you guys were definitely inspired by classic games, Mega Man, Ninja Gaiden, and those titles. And what's interesting about these retro titles is the fact that we really don't see their designs being used anymore, at least in terms of modern design and the modern market. Part, of course, is the aesthetics. A lot of people obviously have moved on to 3D graphics or higher quality, like unique aesthetics. And mm-hmm. the other part of that has to do with the difficulty in the game design. There are so many horror stories of brutally difficult 2D platformers from the NES era.
Yeah.
Ghosts and Goblins, Battletoads.
Battletoads. Yeah.
Even like the original trilogy of Ninja Gaiden is probably one of like, the most brutal series around, at least for the NES era. So,
yeah.
My first question for you, Danio, regarding this type of design is, when you were approaching this, not from playing them, but designing a game in the style, how did you, I guess, pick and choose what elements you wanted to represent or bring to your games?
Well, I think the most difficult part for us is like... to know what was good during that time and what was crap, like what doesn't work anymore. So we try to, it's kind of hard for us because we try to make like difficult games and like a classic design and stuff mm-hmm. like that, but without giving too much frustration for the player, like kind of I wanna be the guy, you know,
yeah.
that game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but it was intentionally made that way, and we lots of retro game has that feeling, but because the design wasn't good,
mm-hmm.
like lots of cheap deaths and stuff like that. So we try to balance things with the player, the difficulty, do some like in the beginning of Odalus, we have like those bottomless pits.
Yeah.
When you fall down, you immediately die. So, like, okay, we don't need this because we want to encourage players to explore the map. No,
mm-hmm.
not like put him in a dangerous situation all the time. So, if you want to the player to explore the level, you cannot put like a bottomless pits or
mm-hmm.
instant kill traps or something like that. So we try to match things. Not too frustrating, but it's the challenge must be high. So stuff like that.
Yeah. And regarding death traps and bottomless pits, that was one thing I also really appreciate from Odalis, having played all those old school games that were full of those. I remember,
yeah,
there's too many examples to list here, but That's one of those things that I thought was just very frustrating, at least back then. And I know another element from Odalis is the fact that you guys, while there is a life system, or, you know, lose all your health, you lose a life, it's not like a permanent game over. It's something that I also saw in, like, Shovel Knight as well, where you still have that penalty of failure, but it's not like the old days where, you know, you die and there goes 2 hours of play, you start the whole thing over again.
Yeah, we got this influence from, in fact, from Demon Souls. Like, when in Demon Souls, when you die, you kind of lost your progress in this stage. But everything that you make, like open doors and your gear and stuff like that, keeps in the stage. Like, if you activate an elevator, you can go to that elevator even if you die, because it will be activated and so on. So that was our design choice for that, to not to punish the player if he has, like, game over. But not a very hard punish, like, you lost everything, die. Start from the beginning.
With Odalis and Onika, in terms of, as we were just saying, in terms of the difficulty themselves, you guys are trying to balance things between the retro, you know, brutal difficulty, as we just mentioned, with modern design sensibilities. For that balance, besides talking about the bombless pits and the live systems, how did you decide, I guess, when was something too hard that needed to be adjusted, or when did you create something that was too easy that you felt that you needed to, you know, bump it up and make it harder for the player?
Yes, in the case of Odalus, the major problem we had at the beginning was the game was too hard. So we had lots of test players and beta testers, and they were playing the game like, oh man, it's too hard. Some stages are too long and with some unnecessary paths. Like, I remember that there was a stage that has like a too much stuff. Like you didn't need all those. Paths and stuff like that, and we kind of we get to like in a movie when you make the cuts, right? To make the movie work. So we had to do a lot of that in Odalus, and we remove lots of stuff, lots of enemies that they were too difficult for, like, the beginning of the game, and some enemies were really, really too difficult to put in the main games, so we removed them from the main quests, and we started like, okay, if we make a harder setting later, we can add those enemies. So that happened a lot in Odalus. We also had some problems trying to deal with the final armor, because it was a really overpowered armor. I don't know if you know, it's the dark armor. So we're still making some adjustments in the difficulty with the dark armor in order to get a really good balance between, like, okay, you get the dark armor, but the game is not broken. You still have some challenges. You know, this is really difficult to balance and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. And I know you said a few minutes ago that another part of your inspiration was the Demon Souls series.
Yeah.
And that in itself is just an amazing work of balancing difficulty with challenge. And
yes,
it's just one of those things that you can't just, you're never going to get it right on your first try. You just have to keep iterating and iterating on it in order for that to work.
Yeah.
Now, I want to clarify what you just said a few seconds ago regarding cutting out a level or cutting out paths because there was too many paths in a certain level. And I was just wondering, how did you decide on that? Because part of old school games, and even part of what made Odalus interesting, is the exploration factor of looking around the levels for secrets, trying to figure out your way through them. So how did you decide that one level was too much, or it was too confusing for the player?
Well, the main problem is we didn't want to put a map in the game.
Okay.
Like the player has, you know, when you're playing a game with a complex map,
mm-hmm.
and you keep pausing and looking at your map, and like, oh, I have to stop and check the map, where I am, something like that. We didn't want to do this in Odalus because we want to keep the speed of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like you don't want to stop for anything. So, like when you get an upgrade, it's automatic. You don't have to equip that upgrade. You don't have to check the status of something in order to use that. Everything you got is better than your previous upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
So, in that aspect, when we made a really big level with much stuff in that, players get confused. So we start to simplify the map in a way that doesn't make the stage too boring or too linear, but it cannot also be like a Metroid map.
Mm-hmm.
There's an example of that in the Devil's Peak. I think it's the fourth stage. It's when you have the frozen cover.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know the ice level with the cavern and stuff.
Yeah.
That level was a really big maze with lots of stuff in there, and we shrink that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still a very complex level, but it was like a. We make things work for people who doesn't have a map, at least not so so maze-like level.
Yeah, and we see like that reliance on a maze with a lot of like the Metroidvania style games.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're right. When you're trying, when you have the map and the play, it can really upset the flow, having to pause and go to the map and repeat and so on.
Uh-huh. If the game was made for that, like in Metroid, that you have your time, it's not a game that the focus is not in the action, but in the exploration and design of
mm-hmm.
this stuff. You can take your time to look at the map and stuff. But Odalus was more action oriented than exploration, so it was going to kill the mood of the game.
Yeah. Now, another part of the 2D design that I do want to touch on, I guess, would actually be the length of the game. This is not one of those very sticking points for a lot of fans. And just like the general market, we see, especially in today's market, that people are a lot more critical of short games or games that they feel that they, quote-unquote, don't get their money's worth for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another one of those weird things when we talk about retro games specifically, because most games for the NES era outside of the RPG genre were really only like 3-4 hours long at most.
Yeah.
When you guys were designing Odalus and Onoken, how did you, I guess, settle on how long you wanted to make these games without, you know, making them too long but still giving someone enough value for their money?
In the case of Onoken, we choose to make like an arcade game where the replay factor is I'm getting good at this, so I have to make more points and achieve like the more like in the leaderboards
mm-hmm.
of Onoken. Like the challenge was in the replay factor. Like I'm playing again. I'm playing in the vet in the hardcore mode. I'm trying to beat the boss rush mode. So Onoken was all about a quick experience. Like I played this and it was a very arcade game.
Mm-hmm.
In Odalus, we focus more on give the player a slow, more slow than Onoken experience. So like for us, like it's kind of Super Metroid. Because you have the game, some people take like 3 hours to beat, 4 hours. But there are some times that people get even 8 hours to finish the game. So it's a very subject matter, the length of the game. For instance, Odalus at the beginning was too long, so we cut lots of the game. I think that if we delivered the game like was in the beginning, people will like, oh, it's too long, it's too boring, I cannot stand that anymore. So not every time that the game is too big, like 12 hours, 14 hours, it doesn't mean that it will make more like a more of your money, like, oh, it's worth because it's big. No, I think the general experience in the game makes, like, I can play a big game, a big long game that's a pain in the ass. And I can play, like, a small game that, like, 2 hours and, oh, I really love the game. I'm going to play it again. So there's also a lot of replay value on Odalus because you in your first run, you can make like a linear path, beating the first four stages like an old school platform game. But in the second run, you can like, oh, okay, I know that there's a secret passage here. So I'm going to this route and I'm going to get this item to explore this area first and then go to the rest of the game. And we are still making new stuff for Odalus, like the veteran mode that will change some of the relics and the paths that you can access and add more monsters and stuff like that. So it's really difficult to make like 20 hours of a game if you're making a 2D style game platformer. You cannot put so much content in this and make the game like, oh, it's still cool. It will be like a very repetitive game.
Yeah, and that's one of the very specific points that I wanted to clarify on, especially when we talk about old school and modern design, is that there is a limit with how far you can really design these games before it just becomes, you know, a complete slog. Like, while it may sound great to play like a 20, 30 hour 2D platformer, it's almost impossible to create enough varied content for 20 to 30 hours of play.
Yeah, we start to repeat everything again.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we talked about this a few minutes ago regarding the enemy designs and the fact that you removed a few enemies that were considered too hard for the main experience of Odalus.
Yeah.
So that's another great topic regarding retro game design, which is frustrating enemies. We can, of course, talk about the famous Medusa heads from Castlevania and a lot of, and like those annoying hawks from Ninja Gaiden. For you with Odalus and Onigen, how did you approach, I guess, enemy design in terms of creating something that was going to challenge a player without, you know, making them want to throw something against the wall in terms of difficulty?
Well, enemy design was a difficult task for us because, like, every enemy that we design or any game has, it was supposed to kill you, right?
Yes.
But you have to choose a way to make the player understand the enemy before it starts to attack you and kill you and do other things. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of hard for us because there are certain types of enemies that has like especially the bosses, they has like a very complex patterns. So we always make like we create the attacks of the bosses, and then we start to show the attacks like from the most simple attack to the most complex attack and something like that. And then when the player know the attack pattern, we start to shuffle between them. So it was kind of hard to make that work, but I think in the end we could make that works, and most players understand what they should do about the enemies, how to escape from their attacks, and okay, this enemy isn't absurd, like I got to this place and from nowhere an enemy come at me and start to make damage, and I cannot I It simply can't. I they're like it's a cheap queue or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it we had to make lots of tests and see what kind of enemy in games is too frustrating and what from that enemy we can use in the game without making stuff too like unpredictable. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, definitely. And the boss designs of Odals are very varied in terms of their mechanics, as you said, their pattern. And this goes back to what you were saying a few minutes ago with trying to build as much quality content into the game to keep it within that very short but very polished playthrough.
Yes.
And for the bosses themselves, were there any that you were particularly proud of or that you thought were like really interesting fights?
I think the most the boss that I really enjoy the fight was I think it was the boss that looks like Mother Brain. I really like that boss fight because I really love Metroid and Metroid series, and I was playing the original Metroid in my NES here at home, and I got to the Mother Brain battle, and I really want to put that something like that in Odalus. I really like this mechanic of you have to kill those things in order to get to the boss. It's not a very common boss because it's like you like to have to destroy your way to the core, like in a shooting up, something like that, like R-Type and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I was I'm going to make like something like Mother Brain, but I want to use a new mechanic in order to beat that boss. So I think it was really cool to because you are forced to use the Pazuzu cape, mm-hmm. those winds that come from the ground. So it was like almost like a shooting up because you have to go up, go down, escape from the enemy fire and shoot the boss, and like you have the weak spots, like shoot the car and stuff like that. I think it was my favorite boss fight of the game.
Cool. All right. Moving on, the other aspect behind the retro game design of Joy Mashal I want to talk on is the art. And then from there, we'll sort of move our way more to just some more specific question about Odalus, and then that will wrap things up from there.
Mm-hmm.
So as we talked about over the cast so far, you guys at Joy Mashers definitely appreciate and love old school design, retro gameplay, etc. And a major part of that has to be the art aesthetics of the game. And what's interesting about Odalus and your other title is the fact that it literally looks like something that could have been on the NES at the time.
Oh, thank you.
And here's my, like, this is my general question as someone who's not a programmer or an artist, but if you could just talk briefly about how did your team, I guess, create or emulate the NES style using, you know, modern computers and technology?
Well, it was kind of, at the beginning in Oniken, we kind of tried to emulate the NES graphics, but I wasn't trying to use the real NES palette in order to do that. But the sprites were smaller, and it was more like an NES game, but not in the color. And I saw lots of people like, it looks cool, but it looks like Master System game because of the colors. So I was like, okay. So if I use the NES color, if it was more like right on the NES palette. But if I go into like bigger sprites and bigger resolution, maybe it will have more impact than trying to really emulate the NES graphics. Mm-hmm. So I think the secret was in the palette that we used. Like we try to stick with the NES palette, And like we didn't use any like complex particle effects, because mm-hmm. when you throw like you're playing a pixelated game, right?
Yeah.
And like when you see like physical particles flowing around, you immediately you think like, oh, this is not an old game, it's mm-hmm. it's a new game, right?
Yeah.
So we try to avoid physical stuff like particles and like transparent effects. We use a lot of jittering in Odalus, like mm-hmm. Old consoles like Neo Geo, Sega Genesis, they all use jittering for transparent color. And we managed to use more bigger sprites, more animation frames than a conventional NES games. But in general, the feeling was really NES game. But the technical part was really beyond NES. It was more like a PC Engine game or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah. And do you have any posts or anything you wrote about developing the PALs for to emulate the NES graphics anywhere? Because I think that would be interesting for the podcast notes.
Oh, yes. I wrote an article on Gamma Sutra.
Okay.
This art direction of Odalus.
All right. If you could link that to me in email, I'll be sure to include that in the podcast notes.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Yep, so again, the artwork of the game really does look impressive. As you said, it definitely emulates that NES style, but
yeah, it's because I did all the art, so I'm like, oh, thank you, man. Thank you.
I think my favorite like old school touch of the game is the fact that all like the main characters, you don't see like their actual face, because that reminds me of like the old school Castlevania games.
Oh yeah, and Contra too, yeah. Because you cannot see the face of the guy. Mm-hmm. It was like if I put eyes on the small character, it was looked like anime Japanese anime, right?
Yeah.
Because their faces are so small. If you put the eyes, it was like, oh, he has big eyes. Oh, and was going to be like comical stuff. So I avoid the use. Details on the faces.
Mm-hmm. Now, another part of your aesthetic that I want to touch on definitely would have to be the music or the soundtrack. Listening to Odalus, it really, I mean, it's probably one of the more catchier, like, 8-bit sounds I've heard in a long time. How did you guys come up with the soundtrack that you wanted for your game?
Well, the soundtrack was made by my friend Thiago Santos.
Mm-hmm.
He loves to play old games, and he was great composer. And we are always like, oh, we need a music to this stage. And what kind of theme you think it would be really good? And I was like, oh, maybe something like that part of Super Metroid and stuff like that. And he was, oh, I know what music is that. And we are always like, oh, okay, a music like that and something like Castlevania or stuff like that. And lots of things from Mega Man X in mm-hmm. the music too. But I think Demon's Crest was a big deal too. Like there's a stage, I think it was Underground Temple, that all those mushrooms and stuff. And we got a music, that music came from Demon's Crest.
Mm-hmm.
It was the inspiration for that stage, for the music.
Cool. Well, let's see, I'm trying to think if there's any other general questions I have, and I think that is about it. Are there any parts of just creating a retro game, either from an aesthetic or game design aspect, that I didn't touch on that you would like to bring up, Daniel?
I don't know. I think you covered everything. the major problem for me is like when I try to remember everything that we did in the game, it's kind of hard, because I was so into this that I lost the notion of the whole thing.
Yeah. All right, not a problem. With that, we'll move on then to our next topic. We're going to talk more about Odalus itself, and that will uh-huh. take us to the end of the cast, I think.
Okay.
All right, So with Odalis, one thing that I wanted to touch on is the fact that you guys set up a Indiegogo campaign for the game. And I was just wondering, what was the process or the decision behind using crowdfunding to help fund Odalis?
Well, we go to the Indiegogo campaign because most because we didn't have money to the musician Thiago. We had to pay him because he was he wasn't a part of the team. He was like a freelancer, and we also need to people to make trailers and like we need some money for the campaign and stuff like that. So we're like, okay, we're going to ask money for those things that we can't do. But the game, we're going to make the game anyways. Like, we don't want money to pay us to make the game. That's why we asked it like $5,000. Mm-hmm. We didn't mean to like, oh, okay, you have to fund the game for us. No, we are already thinking on make the game. The only problem was it was will be more difficult if we didn't got the money. So that was our main like quest in this, to get the money to make things that we cannot do for ourselves.
All right. I guess one question that for developers listening to this, what was the decision to use Indiegogo instead of Kickstarter? Because a lot of developers generally tend to go to Kickstarter.
Yeah, if we could, we go to Kickstarter, but as we live in Brazil, we cannot use Kickstarter because of the region.
Okay.
Indiegogo was our only choice.
All right. From a funding standpoint, or just as game developers, what did you think of using crowdfunding to help finish Odalis?
Like to finish.
I guess in terms of like a traditional developer who gets funding from publishers or just funds it from their own, what did you think about using crowdfunding to help the development of the game?
Well, I think in our case was like we didn't had a name yet in order to ask for lots of money to finish the game. We also think about using something like a crowdfunding to pay for the ports of Odalis after we deliver the game. Like, okay, the game is released. This is the game. If you guys enjoy the game, we can ask for some money to port Odalis for another platform because our engine is really really old and it cannot export from like Linux, Mac, and consoles. But in the end, we're like, I don't know, let's wait, let's try to port ourselves, and let's see if we can got some help from friends. We're studying ways of remake Odalis in a modern engine, but it's still in the beginning, so I don't guarantee anything, but I think it made this possible to, we had in the future Odalis for PS4 or maybe Vita.
Cool. So this has been a great conversation, Daniel. And I think we're going to begin to wrap things up, and we're moving to our final topic. And I just have a few more specific questions about Odalis for you.
Awesome.
All right, so as we've talked over the cast, Odalis was definitely inspired by retro action-adventure games. We, of course, mentioned Metroid, Demon's Crest, Vice Project Doom, those types of games. Mm-hmm. And my first question for you, just specifically to Odalis, is how did you, I guess, decide on the mechanics that you wanted for the game? One of the things that I noticed was with the relics, a lot of the new moves it added, I don't remember them being indicative of the NES era. I'm talking about stuff like the dashing, double jumps, glide, that kind of thing. So how did you decide on how you wanted the player to, I guess, evolve their moveset?
Well, it was like for the gameplay, for the mechanics, we don't wanted to limit it for the NES style. So like okay, we can have lots of mechanics or stuff like that from the Super Nintendo and even maybe PlayStation games like Symphony of the Night. But we like at the beginning of the game, we want to everything be like slow, and the player must learn from things. So you start like really slow. Your attack is really slow. You're like you're a weak guy. You don't have magic and stuff like that. But as you progress and you are forced to like backtrack during the game, you got a dash, so you can backtrack without the backtrack will not be something like too slow and oh, it's a pain, I have to go to the stage again. So you're kind of strong and you can dash, you can glide, you can make double jumps. We try to use all those mechanics in the right time during the game in order to make the experience flow without any like a frustration, or don't make the game too heavy. It's like, oh, I cannot stand this anymore. It's too the game is making me like get frustrated or stuff like that. We try to make everything flows right without too much problem.
All right. And it kind of was interesting about that flow, as you were just saying. One thing I really do want to compliment you guys on is the level design of Odalus and how it really did evolve with the addition of the mechanics. One of the things that we see with a lot of lesser titles who focus on Metroidvania or adding new mechanics is that the levels don't necessarily change. So while you may be double jumping or dashing, you're still doing the same basic thing. But
yeah.
With Odalus, especially like the final level and a lot of the side levels, once you start unlocking the new mechanics, I thought you guys did a really good job in challenging the player to use these mechanics through general exploration and obstacle design.
Yeah, we try like, there's this stage, I think it's the underground temple. That stage you can only access using the dash.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to that stage, there's a lot of jumps that you only can do with the dash, and like there's a lot of obstacles that you have to traverse like really really fast. There's a whole chase scene in the game where a giant worm chase you and you have to dash. Everything in that stage was about the dash. And later, when you get the Pazuzu Cape, everything is about the Pazuzu Cape. So you have to glide. That was a really cool thing because we really wanted to make the player use those abilities. Because I played a lot of Metroidvania games, and my main complaint about all of them is you get a lot of stuff, lots of abilities, lots of weapons, but you don't have to use them. It's like, oh, I just have to use the double jump here and the rest of the game. Like, it's the double jump in those games is just like to get to the point to open a new area and, okay, I don't have to use this anymore. And the abilities don't really reflect the design. So we try to make the stage test your, okay, you have this, now use this. So, something like that.
Yeah, definitely. And really good point about the Metroidvania design. And as I said, it's one of the things that we see from a lot of developers who can't get the Metroidvania design right. As you said, they just add a lot of stuff, but nothing really changes how you play the game. And with Odalus, as you said, when you get to those later levels and you have to make use of the dash, the double jump, and the glide, the level design changes to accommodate for that.
Yeah, even some enemies are more adapted to get you more trouble. Like, later you have the double jump, but there's an enemy that throws his shield at you. So even with the double jump, you cannot just, jump you, bye. The guy will destroy you.
Yeah. Now, another question I have for you specifically about Odalis is, as we've talked about in the previous section regarding just overall retro game design, that there is a fine line between making a game that is long enough to get everything you want in it while not making it so long that it just becomes very boring and repetitive to play. With Odalis itself, were there any elements that you had to cut or that you were planning on adding? I know we talked about the removing the level and removing some of the enemies, but in terms of like actual like new content or new mechanics, was there anything left on the cutting room floor during development?
Yeah, I wanted to to put a mechanic that you have to grab, use the climb ability more.
Okay.
Like I really wanted to make like a section where you have to get something and you stay like hanging in a like a hook, and this hook traverses a really height part, and you have to hold the hook my English is failing me.
Is it like a grappling hook like mechanic?
Yes, there's a hook and you grab it, and the hook will put you to up, and you release the hook, and you have to grab in another hook like Indiana Jones stuff, climb these hopes and stuff like that. I really want to make something like that to really use the climbing mechanics more and make more stuff with that. But I'm not a good coder myself, and I have to program the game too. And I'm not a programmer, so I couldn't make that work, and I have to scrap all that cool stuff I was planning to put in the game away because I don't have a way to code that. And it was really frustrating for me. I had to make lots of workaround.
Yeah. Does sound really interesting. It reminds me a lot of like Bionic Commando from back in the day when you're swinging around. Trying to think if there's any other analogs of the NES era, and nothing's coming to my mind immediately. Now, another part of Odalis I want to touch on, as we said earlier in the cast, you guys are planning on releasing a veteran mode or a harder difficulty. For people listening to the cast, even by the time this cast actually goes up, it may or may not be out yet. But for people listening, could you talk a little bit about what you have planned for that harder difficulty?
Well, the veteran mode was planned to be released with the game.
Okay.
But we were a really small team, and we already had lots of problems to make the game, and we're like, okay, we release as an update later. And I hope people understand that. But for this mode, I was planning like, okay, we're going to change some of the relics in order to force the player to go like a earlier from some other stage. Like, I cannot spoil my stuff, but you have to pass to another stage. Like, you're going to like open a new area that is too hard to be on the beginning of the level, and you have to be forced to go that way. And like, there will be more enemies, like in the Dark Forest Area 1, we will be facing enemies from Dark Forest Area 2. So, like in Ninja Gaiden Black, I don't know if you played Ninja Gaiden Black. When you go to, like the hard mode, you have like Evil Ryu and more monsters and different monsters that only appear in the harder settings. We are planning like those monsters that we didn't use in the main game, we're putting them on the veteran mode.
Nice.
So you can expect like 5 or 6 or 8 more enemies in this mode.
Interesting.
And the bosses have help. Like, they sometimes they summon enemies to help them.
Nice. And I'm really happy that you mentioned Ninja Gaiden Black, because that is actually one of my all-time favorite action games.
Me too.
Top 3 for me is probably Ninja Gaiden Black, Devil May Cry 3, and God Hand. for the PS2.
Man, it's almost identical to my list. Nice. It just changing like a God Hand for Resident Evil 4 or something.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's funny that you mention Ninja Gaiden Black and me excited about Verimo, and how earlier you guys mentioned Demon's Crest and me excited about Dallas to begin with. And it sounds like it's going to be really great to add a level of difficulty. Another question I want to ask you, I've been reading like the Steam forums and the general consumer's thoughts on the game. I know some people thought that the game was too easy. I thought that was kind of interesting. I guess from your own perspective as a player and as a game developer, when you were coming up with Odalis, I guess from an overall perspective, were you aiming for more hardcore or more, I guess, core or moderate players for the game?
Well, in Odiken, we are aiming for the more hardcore player, like the guy who wants to be challenged at all levels. Like, you have to be on your toes to make that stage. Mm-hmm. On Odalus, we're aiming like, okay, this is an exploration game and action game. More focus on action, but it's still an exploration game. So we cannot get the game to be too hard, because most people will I don't want to go that way. I think it's hard. There's a lot of monsters there. No, I will just try this. And we want to encourage players to continue the exploration. That's why we choose to make Odalus more friendly than Oniken. In general concept, I think that there's a lot of challenge in Odalus, but later if you get everything, all the expansions and the dark armor, and the game will be relatively easier. So that's why I was even playing to put the veteran mode, because after you beat the game, you already know where everything is, and we want to add an extra challenge. If you think you're already mastered at Odalus, you should try the veteran mode, because it will change things. It will make enemies in different places and stuff like that. So I think Odalus is more a moderate challenge. Not too easy, but also not too challenged.
Interesting. Okay. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I know we are coming up on, in terms of time, the end of the cast. And to start to, I guess, conclude this cast, one other question I really wanted to ask you, Daniel, about 2D game design, especially with Odalus and developing them for a modern market, is, I guess, for developers and enthusiasts listening to this who want to emulate or try to create retro-style games on their own end, were there any interesting or unique design challenges, either with level design, gameplay, controls, whatever, that you guys ran into with either Oniki or Odalus that you could share for someone else who is interested in making a game in this retro style?
Well, I think the real challenge is to, like, to get an old mechanic that isn't working anymore, like people don't use them anymore or often, and adapt that mechanic to for more people to play with that without getting too old. Like we got lots of concepts from really old games and try to use that in a modern context. Like the live systems, like I have 2-3 lives and I cannot die or game over. You cannot just make the player die and lose everything like in old games. You cannot make the player like start from the beginning. You have to add something, because even people that like old games, they don't have time to expend too much trying to finish a game. Like I bet you have your work, I have my work, so I cannot like stay like, oh, I have to play this level like 50 times before I master it. So it's a real, the real challenge is to make those old mechanics works in your context today.
Cool. And speaking about making old concepts and mechanics work, another element of Odalis I just remembered that I wanted to bring up with you, Daniel, is the UI of the game. I think you made a post about this as well. And one of the things I found very fascinating is that you guys went with pretty much, I guess, for what's considered the NES era, you went with a very unconventional design, which, for those of you listening, the UI to show health, equipment, whatever, is framed on the left and right sides of the screen, as opposed to the old school, which is usually either on the top or the bottom, or it's on its own inventory menu. And I thought that was actually really ingenious to have that, because it frames the game a lot better than if you just had on the top and the bottom. And I guess this may be one of my final questions. How did you, I guess, come up with using this type of framing for the UI?
Well, it started like at the beginning, during the development of Oniken, I chose the 4x3 aspect ratio. Mm-hmm. But lots of people complain about, oh, I have those black bars in the side of the screen. Mm-hmm. And when I start to work in Odalus, I made the resolution to be widescreen. Mm-hmm. But I've noticed that the game was kind of weird, an 8-bit game in a widescreen frame, right? Because it's when you look at that, you can tell that it's a widescreen. You have too much screen to see things. And I was thinking, okay, my vertical space isn't too great, isn't too big, but I have a really lots of space in the horizontal dimension of my screen. So I wanted to put the HUD, part of the HUD in the left and part in the right, to make like the black bars of a 4x3 screen, and the game will look like it was running in 4x3. But that space that will be just black bars, I will have my UI, so I can always see the game like a square, like in old TVs. But my information is all in the sides of the game. I really like to make that way. Some people like think that it's too intrusive, like, oh, don't like to be like those menus there, but in the end, I really like that. So that was our choice for that.
Yeah, and definitely, as I said, it's very different compared to what we saw in classic game design. And good UI development is one of the, I think, underrated elements of creating a great game. We see a lot of developers can slip up on a UI, either making it too simple that you don't get any information, or too much and just overloads the player and you have no idea what you're looking at.
Yeah, like I see also lots of games that when they're going to make the UI, instead of just make like a bar or something like that, they create like a bunch of skulls with chains and stuff, and you have lots of things on the on the screen, and that thing get most of your attention than the game graphics. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to, okay, I'm going to just put the black screen, black bars here, and put all information in that black space, and it will not like compete with the game.
Yeah. All right. I think we are definitely coming to the end time wise. So I think we're going to wrap things up here, Daniel. It has definitely been a pleasure talking to you today.
Oh, the pleasure was mine.
So to end things here, I have a few wrap-up questions for you. Mm-hmm. The first one is, I guess in terms of the market, how is Odalis doing? I'm just curious. At this time of this recording, for those of you listening, we are just entering August. So I think Odalis has been out for maybe 3-4 weeks at this point, or maybe a little sooner?
I think it was three weeks.
Okay. And so how has it been doing? How has the market impressions been?
Well, in terms of reception, we are going really well. I wasn't expecting to people like, I really like the game. I wasn't expecting all that great reception, great reviews. I'm really happy I'm like a little pessimist person myself, so I was like, oh, I think it was just maybe not so good, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But people liked our game, and I was really, really happy. About the sales, we're selling like relative well, mm-hmm. but I think most people like are expecting to go like a sale or a big discount. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to make like a big sale too soon, because I think it's not fair with people who already bought the game. Mm-hmm. So maybe just in the end of the year or something like that. We're not planning to make a big sale too soon or big discount.
At this time of this recording, what's the time frame, or if you have one, for when the Venom mode will be added to Odalis?
Oh, I didn't understand the question. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Do you have an idea of when you will add the veteran mode to Odalis?
Ah, okay. Maybe next week from now. It's maybe next week. Maybe in the...
Are you there?
Sorry, I have a small problem here with my computer. Okay.
Okay.
So maybe next week, or maybe in the next week, because the real problem is I have to balance this stuff in the veteran mode, mm-hmm. and I'm still fixing small bugs that mm-hmm. the game still have and fixing small problems. I'm working on redone the entire dialogue system, because some people had this problem, like the game simply crashed during some dialogues. Mm. So we're like reworking everything to the dialogues in order to fix that problem. And I almost finishing that update. I think it will be on. We'll update the game with this new dialogue system like next week. And after that, we will be free to work on veteran mode. So I think maybe next week or next week.
Okay. And I guess one last logistics-related question for you. Mm-hmm. Following veteran mode, are you and the rest of your team going to continue to work and add stuff to Odalis? Or do you have any new games planned or any ideas that you would like to work on?
Well, after the veteran mode, we are still thinking in what we are going to do. It depends on the sales and how the game is making money for us, because we still need money to continue our work. But maybe next year, I will be developing a new game. Mm-hmm. This year, it's for Odalus only, so... we're still going to we're still going to start to fix bugs and maybe add more skins for the game, because it has a skin system and people that got skins from the Indiegogo campaign got their skins, but people who bought the game now don't have any skins to use. So we will add more skins to the game.
Okay.
I think that's just it. I'm still trying to work with another friend of mine to maybe port Odalus to another engine that will be at the ending of the year. Hello.
Cool. All right. With that, my final question then for you tonight, Daniel, is do you have any final thoughts or any like to say to any fans listening to the cast right now?
Well, first, I want to thank you, everyone, by the great reception we are having with the game. As I said, I wasn't expecting to people really like so much Odalus. I'm really happy because when we make games, we're like, we want to make games so people have fun, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really good to see people having fun with our games. Thank you. I want to thank you, everyone, for like from the press, from you, Josh, for giving this space for us to express ourselves. And I want to apologize myself for my bad English.
That's all right.
I'm literally fighting with the words here to try to speak, but. I'm still thinking in Portuguese, so I think in Portuguese and try to translate in real time to English. It's kind of difficult for me.
All right. Yeah, no, not a problem at all. As I said at the start of class, it's always great to reach out internationally to developers who are trying to make games in their own native countries where there might not have been one before. And as I said, I really did enjoy Dallas, and I can't wait to see what you guys come up with next.
Well, for the next project, we're not thinking, I'm not thinking in make another 8-bit game because I'm done with this style for now. But I think in future, maybe it's 16-bit style or anything else, maybe with some 3D stuff, I don't know. But I'm planning to go back to 8-bit, but not too soon. That's it.
All right, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to your next game and to see what Joy Masters puts out in the future. And again, Daniil, it has been a pleasure talking to you tonight.
Thank you, Josh.
Yep, I enjoyed Odalis, and I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to this cast who love these retro-style games as well. And we should definitely talk again about action games, because I think we could probably have an hour, two-hour cast just talking about Ninja Gaiden Black and Resident Evil.
Whoa. Awesome. Well, I really, if you want to call me to talk about those games, I'm a really big fan of action games. And
we should definitely do another one of those casts at some point. Hopefully, when we have more time and that we don't have any like connection issues. For those of you listening, we had a few Skype related mishaps today. But I definitely don't want to keep you anymore. I know you have to get going in a few minutes. So we're going to end things here for the Perceptive Podcast. For those of you tuning in, thanks so much for listening. And if you'd like to support Game Wisdom, as always, we have several options available. First, if you'd like to submit a guest piece of the site or be a future podcast guest, and that can be whether you're an enthusiast, student, game developer, whatever, you can find all the information and links under Submissions Wanted on the front page. If you'd like to contribute to our Patreon campaign to secure some much-needed monthly funding to keep all this going, you can find me on Patreon under Josh Spicer or Game Wisdom, and that information is also located on the Patreon banner on the front page, and any donations would be greatly appreciated. And last but not least, if you'd like to tune in to my daily streams of games where I will talk about the games while playing them and just showing things off, you can find me on Twitch most nights at 10 Eastern under GW Bicer. Those videos will be uploaded to the Game Wisdom YouTube channel, and those are located now under Videos on Game Wisdom, the Videos category. So, again, thanks to Daniil for coming on tonight, and thank you for
listening. Josh. Thank you, everyone.
Yep, not a problem. Thanks again for tuning in, and we will catch you all next time. Take care, everybody.